This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the Latin Generation panel call on 8th of August 2017. We have Mariana, Bill, Dennis, Hazem, Mikal, Momin, Michael Boland, Sarmad Hussain on the call. Is there anybody else who's joined through the phone? Okay, thank you. So over to you, Mariana.
Okay, Matt dropped me a message. He will try to attend the call, but he's on his holidays. I'm on holiday too, but at least my phone, my internet is working. Okay, as we agreed before 2 weeks, we have to try, we should try today to make some, let's say, some documents and to see where we are at this moment and how much of the documents are, how well the documents are prepared, are we ready for unofficial public comment. And because Mats is not here, you all got the my note that Mats is has volunteered to lead the repertoire group, but instead of him, is anyone willing to do this, or should I proceed? Is there any volunteers to replace Mats? Michael, you want to say something?
No, thank you, I'm fine.
Because I'm seeing your phone is... The phone picture is doing some funny stuff, so I thought you want to say something. Okay.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's okay. As we see, we have here, but Sarmad, we don't have those comments. At least I can't see comments because you uploaded...
Most of the comments, I was looking at that as well. I think they are addressed. So there are no visible comments in the document anymore. Except the formatting of things.
Okay. It means that we have almost finished principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points for Latin script for the root zone. I asked also all Latin Generation panel members to look at these principles once more to see if something could be corrected or upgraded or is there anyone, anything new things which should be done. And I'm now opening the floor if someone wants to say something about those principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points for Latin script for the root zone.
Hello, this is Hazem. I corrected some spelling mistakes. Yes, there were some repeated words and... yes?
I didn't hear you properly. Did you say that there are some errors in writing or something like this?
Yes, there were some repeated words and I think two spelling mistakes or something. I heard them about an hour ago, so I don't know if it's included here in this version or not.
They should be included, but this is not a live document. This is a PDF version of the document. At least I
know. What I see, yes.
Yeah. Maybe it could be seen in the original document, but I will ask Bill again, because... He is my favorite candidate to look at the document and to try to put this whole document more in the English language. I mean to correct all the he was doing this kind of things before. I mean, he revised our proposal, and if he has time, he could do the same thing for this document. And after that, for the moment, we could say that the document is ready for whatever is the next step.
I can do that today.
Thank you, Bill, very much. Thank you very much. So, that was the first point of our agenda. The second one is the principles for variance. I call it like this. It is simpler to say variant principles. As I look this morning, they are not so ready as those principles. So I want, Dennis is here, maybe he can say us what is the status of this document. And I want to ask Sarmat to upload the variant document on the screen. Dennis.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Mirjana. All. This is Dennis for the record. So yeah, thank you, Sarmat, for bringing up the document. So this document has been worked by the variant subgroups from the Latin panel, that is Nikal, Michael, Bill, and myself, and contribution by Mirjana and Sarmat as well. So in coming to this document, it's not called principle for variance for the Latin script for one reason. In our discussions about how we go about our work, and provided that there is already existing work and analysis of the Latin script and the variance and all the implications, we thought that, and also most importantly, the integration panel feedback, which they are expecting a very narrow list of variants, basically homoglyphs across scripts. They are not expecting variants within the Latin script. But putting that aside, we felt that it is worth doing the analysis of all the potential variant cases so that benefits the reader of these documents along with the copon repertoire. So this is the result is what I think it's called, and my colleagues would agree, I believe, this is an analysis of the variants in the Latin script. We will cover the most use cases, such as ligatures, diagraphs, normalization exceptions. From those cases, those candidates, if you will, we will apply the principles from the procedure, the government document, I guess, the procedure to maintain and develop the LGRs for the root zone. We will use those principles, such as longevity, simplicity, least astonishment principle, in order to qualify each of these candidates and determine whether they will be deemed variants for the Latin script for the root zone. So this is a general description of what our work thus far. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, please let us know today or right this moment or later in the mailing list.
Okay.
So I want to pause here and get some reactions, please.
Thank you, Dennis. Is there anyone who wants to say something about this topic? I'm not qualified enough to discuss these things, so I want those people who has better education in linguistics to say if they have something to say. I can only support the work of the variant group. Sarmad, do you have anything? Have you anything to say now or?
Sure. So I guess I have one general comment. I think last time what we discussed was that both the variant principles and the principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points will be discussed in this call, I guess, leading into eventually a informal release for public comment eventually. So I guess the question is that is it useful to have go through these documents together, or we are assuming that everybody's read them and generally agrees with them. I'm not sure whether it would be useful to really discuss some of the details.
The next topic is in our agenda is what are our next steps for preparation for an official public comment. So I wanted everyone this time to see the status of the documents. And this document is in a working phase, I mean, about variant. We can leave it like this for the moment and give some more time to the variant group to try to formalize and to write down whatever they have on their mind. And this document concerned principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points. We are discussing it, let's say, it is almost finished for the whole month. The people have seen the document more than once, and maybe we can discuss the first thing what is on my mind. It is not necessary to put the both documents in the same time for the public comment. We can do it whenever the document is ready for this step. That was my thinking at this moment. I have nothing else to say.
So yes, this is Ahmad. I was actually just suggesting that look at the details of both these documents in some detail during the call today, rather than just assume that everybody's read it and they will give feedback, because looking at it in detail together may be useful. But in any case, I guess that's up to you guys to decide. So
what are you proposing? That someone from the variant, Mirjana speaking, what is your proposal? That someone from the variant group read this document and...
Right.
I don't know how to proceed.
Suggestion was please. To present both, one person from each group present the documents, and then we can either agree or have a discussion. But let me stop. Dennis has his hands up.
Okay, I don't think I'm ready to present the document about variant principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points. I'm not familiar enough with it. On the other side, Matt is not present. And do you think that we can ask someone from a repertoire group to try to present document first? I thought we have finished with this document, but maybe I'm wrong. Now I'm in a position.
Mayana Dennis has his hand up. You may.
Yeah, Dennis, please.
Thank you. Now, I just wanted to also support Sarmat's suggestion that we should present or support our plans from last time we met, that we should present both documents, the Copong repertoire draft as well as the Valiant draft together, so that the reader have a holistic view as to where this panel is going. I commit myself to, and my team, to finish this document at least for the informal comment period in the next days. I think we have a meeting scheduled for later this week, so I think we can clean this document so that it's ready for this informal comment period. But I support that we have to present both documents at the same time. Otherwise, it will feel that there's something missing.
Okay, this changes a little bit our timetable for the August and the beginning of September, but it doesn't matter. We can accommodate the timetable as it suits us. On the other side, before, let's say, 10 minutes, I was asking Bill to polish the principles for inclusion and inclusion, and he agreed he will do it in the next few days. But is there anyone today from the repertoire group, maybe Maital or Michael, to present the principles to the generation panel, or shall we postpone it for the time when the both documents will be ready? That's my question to the group now.
So this is Sarmad. Just a quick comment, since we are all here, I think it may be useful to present it. And the added benefit of that is that if we get any feedback now, that can be incorporated while the documents are being polished and finalized. So if it is possible, I think this would be because that's what we'd also planned last time, 2 weeks ago. So if it is easily possible, we can discuss those documents today.
Okay. I'm asking now members of the variant of the repertoire group, is there any volunteer to present the document? Otherwise, I will read it in my bad English. No one is willing to present the document. Okay, I'll try to do my best. Let me find the document first.
Should I change the document back to...
Yes, please, but if you can find the original document, not the PDF version. I have the original document somewhere. Okay. Are you trying to upload Sarmat?
Unfortunately, this only does a PDF version. The whole screen version may actually be too small to look at.
I see. Okay, I will look at Google Docs. And please, because it is another. Okay. First, we have. In the introduction, we are saying it is a working document which captures the principles for inclusion and exclusion decisions regarding code points for Latin script as part of the Labor Generation Rules, LGR. Oh, it is going up. For the root zone. The principles are guidelines which may evolve as additional analysis is undertaken during the course of the work. The principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points are listed in their respective category below. After that, we have a few definitions. What is language? In our, how we look at those definitions. The present document and its principles deal with any language making use of Latin script today. Languages are restricted to natural human languages in active use. Both the socio-political situation, such as the political or legal status of a language in a country or community, as well as the sociolinguistic roles of the, of languages in society, such as the absolute or relative frequency of use, or explicitly not are explicitly not considered for the current purpose. Accordingly, any notion denoting super or subunits of languages such as dialects, or language clusters are all considered equivalent to language, while notions such as official language, national language, standard language are vernacular and are not considered at all. Sorry for this specific terms, maybe I pronounced them in a wrong way, but nobody volunteered to read it. Letter code point is a Unicode code point with general category property value of LX, LX, LU, LL, LT, LN, LO as defined in the Unicode character database.
Mikhail has his hands up.
Mikhail, yes, please.
Yes, hi, this is Mikhail. If I remember correctly, I think we discussed the document up to some point further down below the last time when Mats was chairing. So maybe we should pick up the discussion where we left off that time.
But as I can remember, we have finished all discussions last time. I don't know. Sorry. Last time you had the repertoire group without me, and I haven't read any notes. At least I didn't see any notes, and I didn't listen to the recording. So I don't know what you have concluded last time. Ahmed is also wanting to say, Ahmed wants to say something also. Ahmed, please.
Actually, I'm sorry, I was not able to attend last week, and I'm not aware about the proceeding, whether it was discussed or not. But I sent to this document to the mailing list, but no response was received. So it is important to finalize this document, whether we can discuss today on the mailing list or in the next call, but we need to finalize this. Thank you.
Hey, Ahmed, I haven't seen any postings from you on the mailing list recently. And we have this Google document. Sorry? You want to say something?
Yeah, actually, it is not. Yeah, yes, please. Actually, it was not recent. It was sent even, I think, a month ago. Well before the last call we attended, almost 1 month ago, but no response from any of the group member was received. So we need to discuss this.
I'm now confused. Sorry. we are discussing these documents almost two last months, and all the comments are incorporated in the Google Docs. And the first document, I mean, the sample of the document was yours, and this is the same document which is upgraded during last 2 months. Ahmed.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mariana, actually, you are regularly updating this document. And very much appreciated, but I'm talking about this particular document that requires some comments from the linguistic members actually to finalize this. It cannot be finalized by me, it cannot be finalized by Mirjana, it will be finalized by some of our...
Yes. Yes, Ahmed, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And Michael and Michael and Michael and Mats were working on these documents, and Sarmad was also helping. And this document we are looking now on the screen is the result of their work. And as I understand, they have agreed almost about everything. It was a few cycles of commenting and rewriting and redoing things, and this is almost final document which we are looking on the screen. Only people insisted that this document should be presented now to the whole group for one time, that everybody can. Maybe some members of the group didn't read this document, and because no one volunteered to present the document, I am trying to read it. And at this moment, I don't know what to do. Shall I continue to read it? Sarmad, please.
Yeah, actually, I'm not...
Right, you're saying things, Ahmed. Ahmed is fading. I don't hear him well. Again.
Shall I continue?
Please, Ahmed, but you are fading from time to time.
Dr. Sarmad, you will say and then I will. Dr. Sarmad, please continue and I will say some.
Okay, so thank you. In any case, I think just to... try to pull this together. My understanding is that there has been, you know, obviously there was a version circulated. There was some discussion following it in the repertoire working group meetings. And based on that, I guess a more recent version has been concluded. Last time when we met, we said that the version which the variance working group and the repertoire working groups have finalized have not really been reviewed by the whole group, the whole generation panel, just those working groups. So the idea was to bring it to a common meeting of the working group, which is today, and present it to everybody so that the variant working group members can also look at the repertoire document and vice versa, and all agree before we go out to informal public comment to the larger community. So I think that was the discussion, some of the details and discussions which have been presented, which Mikal is also pointing to, were actually done in the repertoire working group meeting rather than the whole group working group meeting, though some of those discussions have occurred here as well. So in any case, I think where we are is that we actually have reasonably mature versions of these documents, and the idea is to present it to everybody in the generation panel before taking it forward for informal public comment. Thank you.
Ahmed? Michael, do you want to say something?
Actually,
yes, please, Ahmed, please say what...
Yeah, actually, it has been discussed in the repertoire group. I'm sorry, I'm not aware. And if Mikal and Dr. Sarmad are confident that this document has been discussed and finalized, then I'm okay with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ahmed Wiggis. Mikal, thank you very much for helping me, because I am fighting with this special terminology. Yes, someone from the repertoire group who is a qualified person should present this document to the whole panel. If you are if it is okay for you, please take this role and try to present this document to the whole group. So
sure, I can do that if that's what you want me to do now. I did remember that we had discussed part of it, but I assume that I must have confused, like, the general.
Yeah,
today
we have general. Yes.
Okay.
Please, Michael.
Should we start from the beginning, and should I maybe go paragraph by paragraph?
You will be better with this than me. I have never done the things like this. So you are in the same position as me. Try to say, try to present this document. I don't know. I could only read it, but maybe you can you can talk about the document passing through the paragraphs or whatever is the most suitable way for you. Thank you. The floor is yours.
Okay, I can try.
Please. Thank you.
Okay, everybody. If you cannot hear me, please let me know. I will take it from more or less paragraph to paragraph or sentence to sentence, and always stop and ask around if there are any particular comments on the text. There's a way to go on about this. So this is the working document which captures the principles for inclusion and exclusion decisions regarding code points for Latin script as part of the label generation rules for the root zone. Do we have any comments on that for the moment? From anyone? If so, please raise your hand, and I'm sure Mariana.
Yeah, I will watch.
Okay. So these principles are guidelines which may evolve as additional analysis undertaking during the course of work. I believe that's obvious, and it's clear that that's the situation. So it's only a guideline, and if we find that we need to deviate from these principles, we will adopt the principles to the reality and to the data we see. Are there any comments on this for the moment?
No. Please proceed.
Okay, so the principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points are listed in their respective category below. As you can see, we have three categories. One is definitions, the other one is inclusion principles, and we have exclusion principles, and this is the basic structure of the document, apart from the appendix, which follows in the end. Any comments on this paragraph or the structure?
No. No hands up.
Okay, so let's start with the definitions then. So definitions are subdivided into language, letter code point, mark code point, established contemporary use. Yeah, and that's it for now. Does anyone think we need something else we need to define at this stage, which is not listed here? Okay. Then I will start with the language. If ever you have any comments after I spoke about a particular paragraph, please always stop me. So the definition for language, as we have it in this document at the moment, is that the present document and its principles deal with any language making use of Latin script today. And we also remark here that Latin script is known as Roman script in academic literature. So in some contexts, you may find people speaking about Roman script instead of Latin script. Any comments?
No.
Okay. Languages, please.
Maybe you can read the whole paragraph and ask someone, is there any comment? Because asking for the comment after every sentence, it will last longer. Oh, that's just my suggestion, because one paragraph is one top, one, let's say. Okay, proceed as you started. Excuse me.
No problem. Ahmed, I think, is typing. Would you like to speak, Ahmed, or would you like to go on typing?
On mail structure of the document, everyone was agreed on mail structure of the document in the meeting. He's clarifying something.
Okay. 2 and 3. So you're saying letter code point and mark code point. Or are you saying inclusion principles and exclusion principles, Ahmed?
Inclusion and exclusion principle only. Everyone was agreed on this structure and on this language. So we can just focus on 2 and 3.
Okay. So I will try to speed it up with part one definitions, and then we can see if we can go into more details within section 2 and 3 of this document. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so it says here that languages are restricted to natural human languages in active use. From what I understand, that's a principle which comes already from the principles underlying the whole LGR process. And it says that both the sociopolitical situation, such as the political or legal status of a language in a country or community, as well as the sociolinguistic roles of languages in society, such as the absolute or relative frequency of use, are explicitly not considered for the current purposes. So that means that we are thinking about language as it is used, and we don't care whether a language is official or recognized by a state or a government or some other organization. We only care about if it is used or not, not what kind of political value people attach to that language. And also, we don't care so much whether it may only be used in certain situations. So, I don't know, if like, if you have like major and minor languages in some countries where you have multilingualism, that means that we don't care whether a language is only used at home or only in the market or something. We consider all languages equal as far as we can, provided that they're in active and frequent use among human natural human languages. Any comments? I think Dennis was typing.
I don't see any hands up. No, you can proceed.
Okay. So, accordingly, any notions denoting sub, super, or subunits of languages, such as dialect, regiolect, or language clusters, are all considered equivalent to language. While notions such as official language, national language, standard language, and vernacular are not considered at all. So that means that it's not important for us if one language is considered a language or a dialect of some other language. As far as it is frequently used, we have to consider it for our work. This is basically what this means. And the same also with other qualifications which may apply to languages. Any comments?
No.
Okay, then I shall go on with letter code point. So
yes,
letter
please.
Code point is a Unicode code point with the general category property value of LX. There is a subclassification given here as defined in the Unicode character database. So we are just adopting here a general definition which is already present in the Unicode standard. Any comments on this? Okay. So MARC code point is a Unicode code point with a general category property value of MX as defined in the Unicode character database. So again, this is a definition we adopt from the Unicode standard, and we give more details on these in the appendix. Any comments?
Dennis has a comment.
Yeah, thank you. It's more a, maybe since we are having these base definitions, whether code point sequence should be defined too, I mean, in the context of Latin script. I think we anticipate there are going to be some code point sequences that do not have a precomposed form and may be included in the repertoire as a sequence and not just a separate code point. But this is off the top of my head, since we are defining basic letter and marks. Thank you.
It's a good comment, Dennis, and good suggestion. I think it's a very important thought. My question is, do you think we should insert that definition within to one of those 1, 2, 3, 4 categories we have here, or should we add a fifth category to it and, like, put it subsequently to letter code point and MARC code point, like a bullet point which says code point sequences?
Yeah, I was thinking the latter, but maybe we can add that definition post the repertoire analysis, right? We don't know yet whether we are going to have any of those sequences here, so maybe something that to think about later.
I believe we should do that. Would it be okay if you maybe suggest a simple paragraph wording-wise, or should I come with it, or does someone else have any specific ideas about that from the top of the head right now?
I can have a, step at it, and others can chime in as well. So I'll propose something.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
And Sarma is suggesting we use RFC 7940 for the definition, so I'll look for it. Thank you.
Okay, that's good. Mirjana, are you keeping notes on these things?
Yes, I'm making some notes. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments at this point? Otherwise, I would go on with established contemporary use. Okay. So established contemporary use is the next bullet point, and we define it as the use of a letter which intends its active use by a community today. Such use may be demonstrated, for example, by educational resources, published material, media, or other materials and sources, irrespective of their material or non-material form, such as handwritten or typed manuscripts or digitally produced texts. So we're saying here that we define established contemporary use by how a language is used in a community, and as a proxy of that use, as a representation of the use, we take a look at resources. And it's not important to us if these resources are handwritten or computerized, if they are published or unpublished. As long as they're available and as long as there are resources, then we should consider those. Any comments? Okay, so then it goes on saying that there may be multiple sources for acquiring such evidence, including but not limited to the following. So now we present some examples of where we plan to get our data from. And here we list member of the language communities. So, for example, a speaker of any given language, whether it's German or Serbian or Hausa or you name it, or members of the Latin GP, that is
or one of one from among us, any other experts, whether they are linguistic experts or technical experts, it doesn't matter, as long as they are ready to give their opinion. And then we're saying that we're also considering language tables submitted by the CCTLDs in the context of IDNA 2008 and the IANA repository. And lastly, that we're also looking at published standards, such as, for example, by a language authority or any national or international body. Classical example would be, for example, in Germany, you have different institutions which regulate language. In France, you have the Académie Française. You have national boards and governments which give out listings about whatever an orthography is officially supposed to consist of, such as the Alphabet National Chart, which we have discussed on various occasions, where we have a list of all the characters which are officially part of the orthography. So those are published standards. My question is, does anyone think we need some other source we should mention here from where we take our data? Okay, if not, I would go on with section two, the inclusion principles. So here we define the criteria for including code points within the repertoire, because the procedure tells us that we have to take a positive approach to that, in the sense that we have to actively include code points. It is not that we just take all available code points and then deduct from that. And so the first paragraph here is, if a code point is included or delegated as part of the label, the code point cannot be retracted in future revisions of the LGR, and all applicable criteria must be met to include a code point. So that would mean that we have to be aware that if we include something now in the first revision, it may not be possible to exclude it at a later stage. So we always have to take into consideration all possible factors which may affect the future use of such code points, such as risks of security and stability of the root zone. And second phrase, all applicable criteria, or sentence, all applicable criteria must be met to include a code point, means that all of the criteria we list below here are added together. So they must all be met. It's not sufficient to just hit one of them. Do we have any comments on that for now? I think Sarmad wants to speak.
Yeah, I think this was to the point on the sources. Perhaps what we've seen is some other generation panels have also included teaching materials used for that particular, for a particular language that's different from the published standards and other things. So I'm not sure whether it's useful to list that as an explicit source.
Should we list that under published standards, or should we list that as a separate sub-bullet point? What do you think?
It seems like a separate bullet point, because it's not necessarily a standard sometimes. But we've actually been using, many generation panels have been using teaching materials like primary school, you know, primary grade teaching books, which have all the alphabet for that particular language as supporting material to include code points.
Yes, I would agree. Any other comments from the group from that, regarding that? I think Jean-Paul wants to say something also.
Jean-Paul is typing.
Okay, so while Jean-Paul is typing, yes, teaching material would be good to add. Okay, great. So my question is, would either of you, Sarmad or Jean-Paul, would like to add a phrase, a separate bullet point, very briefly saying that we're also considering teaching material, or would you have me do something?
I can do it, Sarmad.
Okay, thanks. Any other points we should add to the list of sources we would consider? Anyone else? Okay, if not, I would then go on and resume where we left off with the inclusion principles and start with the first bullet point, which says that only languages which have a rating of levels of 0 to 4 under the expanded graded intergenerational disruption scale, or EGIDS, are considered as supporting the inclusion of a code point. The meaning is that we only include such languages which have a certain rating under this particular scale. This scale is a scale which tries to measure the actual use of a language. For example, is it taught in school or not? Is it used in media like TV or newspapers or on the radio or not? Is it passed on from generation to generation? Like, is it taught orally in a whether in a private context or a public context, from generation, from older generations to younger generations, so that the language continues to be used, or is the language possibly dying out? So there are certain differences in the way which languages today are used. There is a lot of language shift, language decay, language death, eventually, where people stop using one language and start, for example, using another language. And since the principles which we are supposed to follow for the whole label generation process for the root zone says that only languages which are in active and currently use are supposed to be used and supposed to be considered for our purposes, it was the integration panel themselves which have suggested that the EGIDS scale should be used as a representation, or as they call it, as a proxy of such a use. And this is why we have this criteria. And in different contexts, they have suggested using levels 0 to 4. However, for example, other groups, such as the Arabic Generation Panel, have deviated from those principles and have said that by way of exclusion, where there is positive affirmative data which confirms that language of level 5 is used actively and currently today, that even in such a situation, the orthography of that language would be considered for the inclusion regarding the repertoire as well as the variants. So my question within the context of this group would be if we should change that and also take a more liberal approach, or if the group thinks we should stick with that category and maybe come to it back later in case we feel we need to change it.
Hey, Michael, this is Dennis.
Please, go on, then.
Michael?
Who is trying to speak?
This is Dennis. Can you hear me well?
Dennis, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, please, go ahead.
So, did I hear correctly? So you're saying so the two first bullets are not complementary, but they intend to describe two different situations. So one, I think the first one is very clear. So languages in the classification from 0 to 4 are included. The second one means that even if it's not within the 0 to 4 scale, you may include such code points if contemporary use is determined. Is that what this is?
From my personal point of view, the second bullet point, code point, could be interpreted to mean exactly that, but it's not explicit. So it does not
right.
say that... where there
is
temporary use and the scale rating, the EGIDS scale rating is higher than the level of 4, the language is still considered for inclusion. So it does not say that explicitly. It kind of implies that in a sense also. So So my question is, should we change either of the two bullet codes, of the two bullet points, or do you, Dennis, and the group as a whole think that it's fine as it is? I think Sarmat wants to chime in also. Please, Sarmat.
Thank you. So I think my understanding of number two was slightly different. Basically, the number first point lets us know which languages qualify. And then within those languages, the second point actually further elaborates on which code points qualify. So you may actually have some code points in a language which are historical in nature, and so they would not qualify even though the language is between scale 0 through 4. So basically, it's the first bullet point is saying that those are the shortlisted languages, and then the second point is saying that within those shortlisted languages, only look at code points which are of contemporary use and not just purely historical use. That's my understanding.
Thank you, Sama. Do you have any immediate feedback to that, Dennis? What is your understanding? Or do you think?
Yes, that was my original interpretation, but yeah, like you suggested, it might be open to the other interpretation, right, that it expands to beyond CDOM 4. But yeah, maybe we have to make it very explicit that the second bullet point is in, it's a farther filter level from the languages selected for analysis. So maybe just include it in the same paragraph or something along those lines so that it's made clear one, the second bullet point is dependent on the first one.
Okay, so maybe then we should actually go ahead and adopt the wording or amend some phrase which makes this actually clear in a sense. Maybe we should start with the first bullet point. So if the group decides that we should actually consider other languages, then we might add something to the end. Let me think if I can come up with something. Maybe something like, where languages have a rating higher of 5, the group requires positive and clear evidence that the language is nonetheless in wide and active use today. Something like that?
So now I'm confused, Michael. So if we were going to allow languages above scale 0 to 4, then why limit languages from 0 to 4 at the first place?
Yeah, I understand. Okay. So from my understanding, originally the 0 to 4 limitation was an interpretation which was provided by the integration panel themselves as to what current and active use means in the context of EGRDS. And they said that they expect everything to be 0 to 4 to be included. But I'm sorry, but Sarmat is saying that there is another call planned on the hour. So now it's actually on the hour, so I think we need to end this and continue this discussion later on. I'm sorry about that, but I don't think we have a choice, right?
Sorry to interrupt, but yes, there is actually a queue of people who are wanting to get on. So we will have to, there's a reschedule call after, well, actually right now. So we, maybe we can conclude very quickly and then close the call and continue next time.
Okay, so I think we should take it from here and the next call and see how we can amend something. But first we need to have a discussion, obviously, on whether we still need this restriction. Anyways, thanks for your attention, and I hope my ad hoc chairing was okay for the moment. So see you all next time. I guess Mirjana and Sarmat will keep you updated on when the next call is scheduled. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael. So I will see with Sarmat. We shall to reschedule or to make new plans for the future calls, and we shall put we shall send the information on the mailing list. So thank you everybody for being today present, and you will be informed when the next GP meet will be held. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sorry for closing the call.
Yeah, we have not planned well. Thank you.